Hallelujah. Thank you, Mommy. I want to also use this opportunity to appreciate God's servant, my father in the Lord, who has given us the privilege to be fathered over the years. It's been wonderful. It's been awesome being privileged to be fathered by God's servant. All of us who are sons and daughters, you understand what I'm talking about. Thank you, Daddy and Mommy, for this awesome privilege. I'm grateful, sir. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Let's celebrate God's servant. I think you can do that better for Daddy and Mommy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know how easy it is to preach when Daddy is around. Praise the Lord. Very quickly, let's look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And another scripture we'll be looking at again is the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Concerning Jesus, the Bible says, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." Father, I ask this morning that you breathe upon your word. Lord, I stand here as a vessel. Flow through me to reach your precious people here. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Speaking very shortly on the subject, the royal priesthood dash the intercessory service. The royal priesthood dash the intercessory service. Our major objective this morning is understanding the place of intercessory service in the priesthood. Understanding the place of the intercessory service in the priesthood. Number two objective is understanding the necessity of intercession in the priesthood. Understanding the necessity of intercession in the priesthood. Number three objective is understanding the benefits of intercession in the priesthood. Understanding the benefits of intercession in the priesthood. People of God, I'd like to begin by way of introduction this morning, that the God we serve is in a permanent search for intercessors. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30, where we just read, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." So God is in a permanent search for men and women that will stand in the gap for their generation. I said that to say this, that to stand in the gap is to stand at the place of prayer. Standing in the gap means taking the burden of your generation before God and taking the answer of your generation from God to hand over to your generation. God's servant, my father, yesterday said that one of the responsibilities of the priest is that of intercession. Yes, we were told yesterday in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23, Samuel was a priest, he was also a prophet, and he said in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That is to say that failure to pray is iniquity before God. So for every servant of God, for every priest called into the priesthood, our primary assignment is to intercede for the people and at the same time connecting the plan of God for the people. Now very quickly this morning, why is intercession necessary in the priesthood? Why is intercession necessary in the priesthood? Number one, to break the resistance of the gates of hell against the growth of the church. To break the resistance of the gates of hell against the growth of the church. People of God, one of the things that the devil dread so much is nothing but the growth of the church. That is why in the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That implies that the gates of hell will confront the church as far as the church needs to grow. If your church is not growing, the gates of hell is comfortable. But if the church must grow, then the gates of hell will confront the church. But you don't need to be afraid, because the gates of hell, the confrontation of the gates of hell is not actually a problem to the children of God, because Jesus has spoken. So we are not confronting the gates of hell on our own. We are confronting the gates of hell concerning the growth of the church with the backing of the Almighty, the owner of the church. So anytime you have to come confronting the gates of hell, I need you, and you need to just let it be clear to you that no devil can stop you. The church is Jesus. You are a representative of Jesus here on earth. And anytime you stand at the place of intercession for the growth of the church, every gate of hell must bow, and the resistance of the gates of hell must break, because we are fighting from the God's aspect and angle of the fight. For somebody, I declare today, that church you left before you came here, by the time you return and go to the place of intercession, every gate of hell resisting the growth of the church shall bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, very quickly, why do we need to intercede in the priesthood? Number two, we need to intercede in the priesthood to break the hold of the devil on the souls of men. To break the hold of the devil on the souls of men. One of the greatest challenges of people is the fact that they are permanently in the valley of decision as to which way to go. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, very quickly, the Bible speaking, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, but in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The battle between the devil and God's kingdom is majorly on the souls of men. Because we know the Bible speaking in the book of Matthew, it says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So one soul before God is equal to the whole world. And then if billions of people must be saved, then the devil, the hold of the devil on their lives and on their souls must be broken. So we intercede for the breaking of the hold of the devil on the souls of men. People of God, there can be no growth, there can be no soul winning without intercession. If souls must be won, then we must stand in the gap. It is at the place of prayer that souls are bettered. And so every prayer is pregnant with the bet of souls. And at the time, by the time you stand at the place of intercession, every hold of the devil on the souls around you must break. It is my prayer today that as we proceed from this conference and step into intercession, your soul winning agenda will succeed and be much, much effective than ever in the name of Jesus. Number three, why do we need to intercede in the priesthood? Why do we need to intercede in the priesthood? Number three, to break through the limitations of life in order to fulfill your God-ordained purpose. To break through the limitations of life in order to fulfill your God-ordained purpose. Hear this, people of God, there is no purpose without satanic confrontation. Anytime we have been called to do what God wants us to do, it is like an invitation into warfare. But I like to let you know that whatever confrontation the devil has brought against your life, against your destiny and the purpose of God for your life, you will overcome it in the name of Jesus. Examples of people who were called into purpose and were resisted. Number one of them was Jacob. Jacob was called as a royalty, called into royalty, and he is also called into royalty. But you see, at some point of his life, he was confronted with all manner of resistance. In the book of Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, when he wrestled with the angels, the Bible said, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a priest has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Jacob was a prince, but he was living like a pauper. Jacob was a prince, but he couldn't fulfill his purpose. Jacob was a prince. He was in royalty, but a lot of things fought and resisted him. Are we together here? As a matter of fact, he collected the blessing, but there was no manifestation of the blessing in his life until such a time that he woke up and interceded. People of God, there are intercessions, and there is an intercession that it is a fight to finish. That was the case with Jacob. Jacob had fought all manner of things, disappointment, disfavor, all manner of limitations. But a day came when he wrestled with the angel, and the Bible says, the angel said in the book in the book of Genesis chapter 32, where we just read verse 28, and the Bible said, I said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Hear this, people of God, if you must prevail, then you must pray. And if you don't pray, you can't prevail in the battles of life. But I assure you that any battle you take to the place of prayer is already a walkover. Are we together here? And for somebody today, I pray that as we pray on this mountain, every satanic resistance to your life, to your destiny, to God's purpose for your life shall be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Time will find me to talk about Jabez in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 to 10. Jabez was a man called an honorable man. He was a man of honor. And then the Bible said he was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. But something happened. He prayed in verse 10. And the Bible said, and Jacob called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my cause, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Of what use is honor that is laced with sorrow? Of what use is it to be in honor and yet you can't be honored? Of what use is it to be honorable and yet carry a contradictory identity? Are we together here? He prayed and then that situation was reversed. I don't know what is contesting with the plan of God for your life, contesting with your identity, but I decree on this mountain today there shall be a reversal in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we're failing to talk about Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Daniel was a man of royalty. He was a man of royalty. But his environment fought him. His society fought him. Where he found himself part time resisted who he was meant to be. And there was a decree at some point. And then in the book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. That is the place of intercession. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Lord as he did before time, aforetime. So Daniel was a man of intercession. His relevance could not be cut short. He was relevant, like we've been told by God's servant, through several administrations. For about 60 years, he was so relevant because he was a man of intercession. People of God, if your journey of relevance must not be cut short, then you need to stay at the place of intercession. Relevance is a product of intercession. Staying relevant is a product also of intercession. It is my prayer today that anyone at the sound of my voice that is here seated, that is being fought by your environment, as you step out of this conference, you step into victory. You step into victory. You step into victory. If you are the one, can I hear your loud amen today? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Master, was a man of prayer. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 29. Luke, chapter 9, verse 29. The Bible speaking concerning him is, as the Bible says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. This was shortly before he arrived at Gethsemane, where he was crucified. He prayed. The prayer that he prayed here was a prayer of victory. Are we together? Over the forces that would have limited his life. As a matter of fact, men concluded that it could be limited, it could be stopped by the crucifixion and then the eventual death and his burial. But they didn't know, because the Bible said, had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. They didn't know that what they were doing was an assistance in disguise for him to get to where he was meant to get to. And that is why, people of God, it doesn't matter when you are being resisted. Understand that the magnitude of your resistance is a manifestation, an expression of the weight of your destiny. The devil does not fight non-entities. He only fights some entities. He only fights people of glory, people of destiny. I declare today, every fight of the enemy against your future is a fight that will be terminated on this mountain in the name of Jesus. And the fight shall end in your favor. It shall end in your favor. It shall end in your favor. Let me tell somebody, the fight is ending in your favor. The fight is ending in your favor. It is ending in our favor in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, as I try to round off, very quickly, what is the benefit of prayer? What is the benefit of prayer? Again, Luke chapter 9, verse 29. As I round off, what is the benefit of intercession in the priesthood? The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Here it is. When we pray, there is a life and destiny transformation. Nothing transforms life like being permanently at the place of intercession. Jesus, hear this. There are changes in your life you may not be able to experience until you go to the place of intercession. And receive today, by the grace of God, a baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication to stay at the place of prayer for your life and destiny transformation. In the name of Jesus. Please stand up on your feet, everyone here. My time is up. Go ahead. Pray this prayer. Father, I receive a fresh baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication today. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. Father, I receive Zadakalabaradas. Jesus' precious name. Amen.